Yeah, that's the point, you know. You can sit somewhere aside on your own and, you know, think I'm doing retreat, but your mind can be very full of afflictions. So it's really about working with the afflictions. And we choose this kind of environment because it's one that is conducive to working with the afflictions, in the sense that there is enough quiet time to be able to look at our minds and put into practice the teachings that we've heard. And there is enough activity and interconnection with others whereby we can see how our mind works and we can see what we need to work on. Okay? And so, you know, the retreat is not just what you do in the meditation hall. The retreat is the whole way that we're staying together and working with our minds. And so one thing that you'll see that I've mentioned before is how the environment stays pretty much the same day to day, but our mind will vacillate wildly. And we will see there just how, you know, what goes on inside of us, our experience, is not... It is dependent to some extent on the external world, but not as much as we think it is, because the external environment can stay the same and the mind can be happy one day, miserable the next. And then up 5 minutes later and down again, like a yo-yo. Okay? And so... during the retreat, because we are so used to always looking outward at other things as the cause of our unhappiness or our happiness, then sometimes the mind gets into things of, you know, I just cannot stand anymore how that person walks, you know. And because we won't have all the gross things happening, so all the small things start, the mind makes them very big, you know. And this person just sniffles and completely destroys my samadhi, you know, because they sniffle. And somebody else, you know, the way they do the dishes, didn't their mother and father ever teach them how to do dishes correctly? And when you see your mind start going on and on about somebody, recognize this has nothing to do with the other person. This is just my mental habit of, you know, commenting on other people, evaluating, judging, projecting, in general, making myself and others unhappy. Yeah? And it's not going to change by making the other person stand on their head. It's going to change by me changing my mind. Because we can see there's many days in which that person does not sniffle and we are still unhappy. And many days in which they don't walk that way and we're still unhappy. You know, and we can see that that's not the issue. The issue is working with this monkey mind of ours that is totally out of control. Okay? So, you know, it's very important. This has nothing to do with blame. We're not blaming ourselves for things. Okay? Very important. We're not blaming ourselves. And we're also not blaming the other person. We're just understanding how our mind works and recognizing that the Dharma path is about changing our own mind. It's not about changing the external environment. Okay, in terms of our own happiness. Of course, in terms of your bodhicitta practice, if you want to benefit others, of course you have to change certain things in the environment and you have to, you know, comment on other people's behavior and so on and so forth. But the first thing we have to do is really look at ourselves and what's going on here. Okay? And in the process of doing so, to realize that everybody else is in the same boat. Yeah. That it's not that everybody else is in deep samadhi and we're the only one with a monkey on our meditation cushion. that everybody's struggling with the same things. And it's not a case that we're the only one with this mind that fabricates stories. Everybody's mind is fabricating stories. We're not the only one with a body whose back hurts and knees hurts and head hurts and, you know, everything else. Everybody else has a body that's giving them trouble in one way or another. Okay? And so seeing things in this way, then really seeing that we're all in this together. Yeah. And so rather than separate ourselves out, you know, with, well, I have special problems that nobody else has, so I should receive special dispensation or special perks, you know, to say, you know, we're all struggling with the same things in one way or another to a greater or lesser degree. And we are all going in the same direction. Yeah? So these other people are not my enemies. Yeah? And they're not somebody to compete with. They're not somebody to be jealous of, you know, because they can sit longer without moving or, you know, whatever it is. You know, that we don't need to compare ourselves to them. And that's not what it's about. These people are my friends who are my support group who are going in the same direction as me. I want to see them to succeed. We're not in a contest about who becomes Buddha first. Okay? And they want to see me succeed also. So we're helping each other in this way. Okay? So very important to have that perspective. And similarly, to remember that White Tara is your friend. You don't have to battle with White Tara. You know, it isn't that you sit down and, Tara, where in the world are you? You know, I'm sitting here visualizing you. Where are you? You know? Yeah. So just relax in your meditation. And remember, relax does not mean go to sleep. It means to relax your body, relax your mind. Yeah? And let White Tara appear to you. And don't worry so much about, okay, let's see, that pink scarf wraps twice around her left arm and the blue scarf wraps around her right arm. Don't worry about that. Just get the feeling of being in the presence of a Buddha. You know, that there's a Buddha who's looking at you with total acceptance, total compassion. You know, that what you are, what we are, is good enough. And, you know, and feel what that feels like for somebody to look at you that way. And see if you can look at yourself that way, with that kind of acceptance and compassion. And then see if you can look at all your other team members in the retreat, you know, with that same kind of view. Okay, it's important, and I'll talk about this, you know, again and again during retreat, because we always forget. But it's important to be balanced. Make being balanced an important part of your retreat. Okay? Because if you can keep yourself balanced, in the long run, you will learn and benefit more than if you push yourself with some kind of idealistic view of, you know, next Tuesday or by the Tuesday after that at the latest, I'm going to be Buddha. Okay? Just try and be a balanced human being. Many of us have no idea what being a balanced human being feels like. It's completely new territory, just like accepting ourselves. What in the world does that feel like? I only know how to criticize myself. Yeah? So a lot of these are things that are very new for us. So it's helpful, I think, in that way, you know, to use White Tara to help us get a sense of it. You know, White Tara accepts me. What does it feel like to sit in front of somebody who accepts me? What would it be like to accept myself? White Tara is balanced, you know. What would it feel like to be White Tara and to be balanced? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, people will do, small things will set you off, you know, ranting and raving, at least inside your mind. Although we had one retreat, you were at that retreat when somebody rant and raved outside of her mind, too. That was
one time.
Huh? Yeah, the retreat was in silence, but she wasn't. Huh?
Oh, I was thinking of that one particular scene where there was just the whole retreat caved in, but the whole thing was done in silence.
Oh.
It was just the level of rage was so great.
Uh-huh.
The body language was so powerful. People were just bursting in tears.
Right. Yeah. No, I remember we were in silence, and then outside, somebody just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, you know, okay. But the thing is to try and think, you know, well, what does it feel like to be balanced? And, you know, how am I unbalanced? And am I getting too little sleep or am I getting too much sleep? Yeah. Am I pushing myself too much or am I being too lax? Yeah. Do I have, like, all sorts of unrealistic expectations? Or am I just completely happy-go-lucky? Yeah? And so somehow trying to get yourself in the middle, knowing that whatever is the middle changes. There isn't some fixed middle that you can anchor yourself to because the conditions around you and you yourself are changing. So, of course, what you need to do or be in any situation is going to need to be readjusted. Yeah? But just think, you know, how can I just be balanced? Mm-hmm. And don't try, you know, watch the typical habit patterns, emotional habit patterns you get into, you know. Especially on your day to cook, that can be real interesting. What is your habit pattern? Is it anxiety because it's not going to be done in time? Is it anxiety because they won't like it? Is it anxiety because it won't look beautiful? And they all come down to, is, am I going to be rejected because they don't like the lettuce? You know? How our mind, you know, gets into all sorts of tips about actually quite simple things. And so instead, really change your mind and just think, you know, I am preparing a feast for Tara. And so it's fun and it's good. And however it comes out, it's going to come out. It'll be just fine. Okay? And then do it in a relaxed way without like, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock and I haven't chopped the carrots yet. You know, just do it in a nice, relaxed way. Give yourself the time. Yeah. Same thing with the chores. You know, do your chores in a nice, relaxed way. And, you know, vacuum up all those afflictions and clean all those afflictions from the bathroom mirror. And, you know, really apply the thought training practices when you do that. And give yourself a chance to enjoy doing your chores instead of seeing the chores as something you got to do to get over so you can do something else. Okay? But just really try and, you know, in some way bring the Dharma to everything that you're doing in your life. And so at some points in the retreat, you may want to do more study. At some points, you may see that, no, study is not what I need. I need to take more long walks and look in the distance. Or I need to just, you know, sit on a sofa and think about things during the break time. But, you know, the break time is part of your retreat. And what you do in the break time is going to influence what you do during, you know, what happens in your sessions, too. And so that's why we, you know, don't send, you know, social emails or make social phone calls. I know some of the Abbey members will have to check email for this or that, you know, occasionally to do with the work, you know, the particular job somebody has. but that's going to be occasional. It's only going to be work related, and you know, we don't want any social kind of things. And you know, all the correspondence with different supporters and people who send us stuff and who send us friendly emails, Zopa will very kindly take care of all of that. So we don't need to worry about it. And, you know, oh, we got an email from so-and-so. Oh, I've been thinking about them so long in my meditation. I've got to write them right now. You know, no. We give ourselves a break from all of that. Okay? If you want to, you know, write some letters if family is going to worry, you know, what I did is I always wrote letters in advance, left it with the office, and had them send it out. Okay? So that's one way to deal with it. So you don't have to call your family in the middle of the retreat. Or, you know, if you really feel you have to write the letter, go ahead. But it's much nice. I mean, all your letters basically send them. It's raining. No, it's snowing. We're having a great time in retreat. We got a new kitty. That's the big thing. Mm-hmm. We got a new kitty who's so cute. And, you know, all the letters sound the same. The relatives just want to know we're alive. That's all they care about. That's all mine cared about. So, you know, don't worry about them knowing everything that's happening with you and this, that, and the other thing. You know, come to all of the sessions unless you're sick. Okay? And everybody's going to have a different version of what sick means. For some people, it means, well, I feel a little tired, so I'm sick. For other people, it's, you know, I'm throwing up and I better stay out of the hall because I don't want to make a mess. So people will have different definitions. But try and, you know, don't just stay out of the hall the moment your body feels a little bit uncomfortable, because when is your body ever going to feel comfortable? Yeah? When has your body ever felt comfortable? So don't push yourself to be in there, you know, although, you know, all hell and hot water is breaking out and you feel like you're going to faint. That's too much. But don't just because you're a little tired or a little something say, you know, I've got to skip the session, because that interrupts, you know, the flow of your meditation, and it, you know, it affects other people in the retreat as well. My own experience is that often, especially if I'm tired or in a bad mood, if I go and to a group, you know, puja or meditation or something, I feel better afterwards. You know, there's something quite remarkable about that. I think it's called taking your mind off yourself. Yeah, but that all, you know, nearly always seems to work. Being on time is important, you know, because people start the sessions on time. So, you know, make sure you give yourself enough time to get there. If you want to stay after a session and continue meditating, that's fine as well. But then when you take a break, don't say, oh, it's the next session starting, so I'm going to skip the next session. Because that doesn't work. So make sure you know, take a break somewhere in there if you need one or whatever. What else do you have questions about? Just the general flavor of retreat.
There's your wisdom that says if something comes up during retreat that's really difficult, is to give yourself 24 hours, I think, just sit with it before you write an SOS to Venerable.
Yeah.
So if it's really something's disturbing and causing some fear or anxiety, is to just give yourself, okay, 24 hours, I'm going to sit with this, think about it, do some whatever to ease your mind. And if it's still there and is really causing a disturbance, then...
Yeah, please come see me. And you may, within each other, you know, you'll see if somebody's going through something difficult. So reach out and, you know, give them a hug or... or whatever, kind of support each other nonverbally. If you can see that somebody else in the group is really in trouble, but they're really like persisting, you know, on, like we had one retreat where there was somebody who was crying like almost every session, and it took quite a while before anybody told me, don't let that happen, you know. It's better I know sooner rather than later. And so, if, you know, if something happens, you want to see me, just write a note, and then, you know, I'll let you know when is a good time, usually after lunch. Usually we do retreats, interviews at the beginning of the retreat and at the end of the retreat. So I'll set up a little thing. We'll do like 15-20 minute interviews with everybody. The thing is, I won't be here at the very end of the retreat because I already have this commitment to be at Vajrapani. I'm coming back on the 3rd. So, you know, maybe people who are leaving, those of you who are leaving, can just write me a little something that's kind of, you know, a way of saying what I got out of the retreat and what I'm taking with me. Because that's the basic purpose of the interview, is to help you summarize for yourself. Yeah, so you can write that up and then leave it for me. And any other things? The sadhana. I think most of you are doing the self-generation. Yeah, mm-hmm. Except perhaps Jonathan. So I think just go ahead and lead the self-generation. If you aren't sure, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, whether to do it or not do it.
I feel comfortable with the ones I do now, uh-huh. The self-generation.
Okay.
That's just the way the
hospital, yeah.
I just do them.
Right. So, yeah, but doing this practice, you know, you make up your mind about that, because I can't say. But I think lead the self-generation. And I think that the, refer a lot to the Tara book and also to the Chinrezi book, because the Tara is a Kriya Tantra, just like Chinrezi is. And just as when you do Chinrezi, you do the self-generation in terms of the 6 deities. You can also do that for the Tara if you want to. In the present sadhana, it just has a very simple self-generation. So on the days when you want to spend more time, let's say on the mantra and visualization, do that simple self-generation. And on days when you want to spend more time on meditating on emptiness and doing the self-generation slowly, then you do it, you know, following the 6 deities, except, you know, instead of the seed syllable being Hri, it's going to be Tam. Instead of Om Mani Padme Hum, it's Om Tari Tatari Tari Soha. But, you know, those same basic steps are the same. Many of you have done that before. And that's a very beautiful meditation for a self-generation.
A question about that. The one part about that is, then when you are visualizing yourself with what Tara, and you put the Tara at your heart, is it the same form?
What you can do is just, at that point, you know, you don't have to put another Tara mm-hmm. at your heart. You can then go back to the regular visualization of the wheel and everything.
Okay,
so as soon as you arise in the full form of Tara, then you go back to the description that's in the Tara Sadhana. Mm-hmm. And do not place too much emphasis on your meditation at your heart center. You know, especially early on in the retreat, it's not good. So even though there's quite a detailed visualization occurring at your heart, I recommend at the beginning maybe just the Tam and the mantra, you know, and the lotus or the wheel, you know, and just leave it with that. If you put a lot of attention at your heart in your meditation, you're going to get lung, okay? And so you have to be very careful with that and just, you know, do that in a very gentle, peaceful way. Okay. And the same with even the outer visualization of yourself as Tara. Don't get so hung up on every single detail, because it's that kind of, you know, okay, got to get the tongue, the letters. Not exactly. How does that tongue look? This way, that way. And you're doing all this at your heart. I mean, you're going to, of course, drive yourself bonky. You know? And the same way, you know, the self-generation. Okay, Tara's like this. Oh, how far are her fingers sticking up? Are they like that? Like this? Where are those whites, those silks going? Is she leaning to this side? How does she sit like that, you know? Oh, there's that third eye. How do I get that third eye? And then there's eyes in the bottom of her feet, too. What does it look like from the bottom of your feet? You know? No, I say this because people can get really into this kind of detail stuff. Don't do that. Just, you know, I'm the deity. I'm not old, contaminated, poor quality me with all my hang-ups, all my neuroses, all my complaints, all my limitations. That's all been dissolved into emptiness, and I'm Tara, and that's good enough. Okay? Yeah? And so then you just be Tara. And don't worry, oh, I've never been that thin like Tara. She must be anorexic. That waist is so small. Yeah. Don't worry about it. And, I mean, the most important thing in the self-generation is that meditation on emptiness, so that you let go of that concept of here I am with all my limitations, all my things that I don't do right, all my constantly recurring emotional patterns again and again. Here they are. This is me. You know, some stuff is just so ingrained. Well, what the heck? I'm going to be this way my whole life. You know, that all dissolves into emptiness. And then you arise as a Buddha. And as a Buddha, you can be all the things that you aren't now. Like happy. You know? You know, try letting yourself be happy sometimes. You know? And you can look at sentient beings with compassion, and you can be tolerant of others and compassionate with them, and, you know, you can make decisions, and you can, you know, whatever your thing is, yeah, then you just be that. Give yourself a chance to imagine being the kind of person you would like to be. I'm assuming you would all like to be a Buddha, you know, and think of the qualities of a Buddha and think of what would that feel like to be a Buddha. Okay? So we can go through the sadhana a little bit, maybe not today. But, you know, as we start, I don't want to do too much talking on one single day, mm-hmm. You know, because we'll have a discussion group later. Then tomorrow we'll do our posada, and then we can do that, like, after lunch. And then we'll, you know, do the gektor and set ourselves in retreat, and then the evening have a session. So we could probably start all of that, I think, probably around 3 o'clock tomorrow should work. Would you make that a Gektor plate, please? Thank you.
I have a question that it's not really logistics, but last year I think we decided that we would not have Q&A with you and that we would just have the teachings.
Right.
And I personally feel that not having any Q&A time with you was not good.
Uh-huh.
Not that we need it regularly, but if at some point if we could schedule one every couple of weeks or
sure. You know,
that would, I think having that contact where we can really bring questions up might help.
Yeah. Okay. If it's questions about the sadhana, bring those up and I can do them in the BBC. Mm-hmm. If it's questions about your meditation, that, you know, then let's do a group Q&A, mm-hmm. you know, and talk about that. And so just let me know when you want to do it and we can do it sometime. And I think you'll probably have one, maybe two community meetings during the retreat, just so everybody can check in with each other and see how they're doing and stuff like that.
Regarding discomfort when I'm doing the meditation, it's not so much knees or back, but mm-hmm. I feel nauseated, physical in my stomach. That's been happening for the past week or so.
And you've been doing Tara, or what have you been doing? I don't know what to tell you. Except that Tara doesn't have an upset stomach. You know, what you could do if something like that happens, you can also do the mindfulness of feelings, you know, meditation, and watch the feeling and see, you know, what causes it, what results from it, these kinds of things, you know, that in the mm-hmm. last session, you know. See if that helps, or because sometimes, you know, examining the sensation can help. Sometimes bringing your mind back to something else is the best thing to do. Okay. And also, if you, some other things about the sadhana is you don't have to do it the same way every session. Yeah, you can do it really fast some sessions, so that you have more time to do lanrim. Yeah, other sessions you may do some sections fast and the others slow. So vary how you do it. Don't see it. It's not a standard recipe for oatmeal cookies. Yeah, but you can invent and, you know, stretch something out. Not invent things that aren't there, but, you know, you can play with it. One part that really hits you, maybe you want to meditate on the four immeasurables for 15 minutes. Go for it. That's fine. And then just do the other parts very quickly. Yeah. If you want to include in your retreat one or two sessions on the mindfulness, you know, what we've done so far, then do that. You know, that's also good. Or perhaps, you know, you're studying a particular topic, and so when you're doing your lanrim, you will meditate primarily on the topic that you're studying, so that, you know, when you study, you make a little outline of points you want to contemplate or something like that. Okay? So make the sadhana your own. Don't feel like you have to squeeze yourself into some rigid form. Okay? So that might help if you... Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really have an attitude of playing with it. Yeah, remember this is fun. And so play. You had something?
So do we do all this while we're doing the... during the sadhana and the kava, having the visualization going, do then we... maybe switch to trying to practice mindfulness of the feelings or contemplating along with that?
No. I would say, if you're saying the mantra and you're having problems staying focused, sometimes bringing in some lanrim while you're saying the mantra is good. But otherwise, you would conclude your mantra and then do the lanrim. Okay? If you're going to do a four mindfulness session, then I would say right from the get-go, take refuge, do the four immeasurables, set your motivation, and then, you know, maybe do the seven then prayer, and then go right into the mindfulness. Okay? So don't mix too many things up. Don't mix your mindfulness up with your white tara in one session, unless something's coming up as an, you know, in your meditation, where using one part of the mindfulness meditation would be a good antidote to what's coming up. That's why I was suggesting that for her. Okay? So, yeah. Because things come up in your meditation, either distraction or memories, or you get angry or whatever, so you have to apply Lam Rim antidotes. You may have to apply other, you know, meditations to help you solve whatever is the problem that is coming up in your mind. Okay? So if, you know, you try and stay on the visualization and the mantra, if doing both the mantra and the visualization at one time is too complicated, you know, then just do the visualization and then stop and just do the mantra. Okay? And you can do more or less of one of the other. Yeah. But if something's coming up, you know, you're remembering something that you're getting really angry in your meditation, there's different things you can use with Tara to help you solve your anger, or you could just stop your mantra recitation and do one of the meditations on fortitude, you know, from working with anger, and, you know, and get that solved and then come back to your Tara. Or like I said, sometimes you use the Tara practice to help you, you know, work out whatever that situation is. Okay.
So as far as leading, what we've been doing before is we usually go for about a week. Each member of the community leads the sadhana, and then after a week, people need to be comfortable enough that they can do it themselves. So that's what we've been doing before.
Yeah. So just check up after a week if people are comfortable. If somebody feels, usually it's just led one session a day, right? But if somebody is having problems and you feel like you need it led two sessions a day, say something.
And this is the sadhana that I typed up the memo. Does everyone have their copy?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, time in the hall, please do not bring in a book to read. Okay? It's very disturbing for the others if you're reading, or especially flipping pages and things like that. And just know there will be somebody who clicks their mala very loud and who puts their mala down, crash! They tiptoe into the hall very mindfully, but they put their mala down like this. You can live. It won't destroy you. Yeah. You can wear earplugs if you want to. But, you know, it's not so much the sound as it is what our mind does with the sound that makes the difficulty. During the break time, get exercise. I think exercise is very important during retreat. Take walks, look out into space, look at the trees, look long distance. You know, even on the cloudy days, see the beauty in the cloudy days. You know, get outdoors, do some yoga, do Tai Chi, kind of take care of your body in this process as well. And we, you know, we have the exercise room. You can go down there and use stuff.
We have snowshoes to open up.
Yeah, we do.
And we had one thing to discuss during this logistics part. Sharon brought a gift for the Agnew book. I think we can do it later, but it's about Qigong. It's a video, and we thought about doing it downstairs in the office where the machine is and just having it set up and has a certain time. The problem is it will have some sound. It's a physician who's a Buddhist, long-term Buddhist.
He's a Buddhist. Maybe do it in one office or the other one, not in the open office. Do it in your office.
Yeah, that's the one. Because it's easy. That's the room we've had for stretching before and stuff.
I think that's okay.
I thought we'd work that out.
He's a physician. He's Buddhist. He was born in Burma. So I'll tell you more about him. Don't you see the name? You heard of him?
No.
He's president of some international Buddhist association. Does a lot of other things too, but also a very humble person.
His holiness asked him directly.
Yeah, his holiness asked him to he talked to his holiness about what to do. His holiness suggested that he bring these eight. They're actually just big statues of Buddhas, and he's got them in here. But it, in the introduction, it really introduces him a lot to someone. But I'm not really either. I've only seen the video 1.5 times, and I haven't learned it all yet. But it's a very good basic.
Very good.
And it also says in there a good time for the day to do Qigong. I mean, if we can exactly fit it in with that. So, yeah, the moon maybe is one, and I'm not sure. It's not like at the crack of dawn, I don't think.
You know, and eat normally. Don't, you know, this is not the time to go on a diet and starve yourself. And it's, you know, and it's not the time to overeat either. So just kind of eat what your body needs.